Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. As Governor Gretchen Whitmer prepares to deliver her second State of the State address on Wednesday, public school budgets are not far from anyone's mind. Enrollment continues to drop. Federal changes in standardized testing have reset the goalposts, and Michigan has its own test-related mandates looming. Against this background, Education Trust Midwest has taken a unique stance. Normally, it's a voice in education policy debates, but for the first time in its 24-year history, it's calling for a substantial reinvestment in schools. Amber Arellano is the executive director of Education Trust Midwest. I asked her about the questions that the latest EdTrust inquiry was setting out to answer.
So we developed this report with two national organizations that have deep expertise in school finance and public education systems. And we did that over the last year because we began looking at new research that was finding that Michigan is now in the bottom five states in the country for the gap between affluent school districts and high poverty school districts.
So this is a little bit more subtle way of measuring than just looking at, say, graduation rates, which are around 80%, and more a function of measuring need with funding for schools in need, right?
Yeah, and that's a different approach for us. You know, we've been one of the organizations leading a campaign to make Michigan a top 10 education state for several years now. And we've never focused on funding for good reason. I mean, there are many factors that lead to educational improvement. And when you look at leading states around the country, money's not the only thing that matters. But it does matter, and it especially matters for kids who have special needs or challenges. You know, for example, Michigan now has a third grade reading and retention law in place. And you think about kids that have particular challenges in learning how to read, like dyslexia. If you're in second grade and you're having trouble even seeing the letters straight,
that's where the rubber's hitting the road.
Yeah. And if schools don't have the capacity and the resources to get the additional supports that kids like that need, then they're not going to learn how to read. And that has a huge impact not only on their lives, but it's a huge impact on our economy.
There's a lot to say about the remedies and conclusions in this report, but I just wanted to ask a bit about methodology first. What if Michigan's status in the ranking that you mentioned has more to do with the progress of lower rated states who have managed to improve their status while Michigan's numbers were staying roughly the same?
Well, for performance in terms of achievement, that is part of what's going on. When you look at the overall data trends, it's not just that Michigan has been stagnant or slightly declining in performance. It's also that there are so many other states that they are growing, their students learning so much more rapidly than ours. And so that's partly like if you imagine a group of swimmers in a set of lanes, you know, that Michigan is going about the same speed where all these other swimmers are going faster and faster and faster, and we're falling farther behind. And I think what the evidence is suggesting is that, especially for kids in low-income communities, in rural communities, kids with disabilities, that money can make a difference when it's invested effectively and thoughtfully. And so in this report, we're not only calling for Michigan to catch up with the top leaders in the country to invest in those students, we're also saying, let's do that thoughtfully. Let's do that smartly. Let's make sure that we're also putting systems in place to hold districts accountable for using those dollars in a way that evidence shows that actually improves learning outcomes.
The recommendations that this report puts forward are generally organized around how the state can help high poverty schools. Don't these schools already get extra federal funding, so-called Title I money?
They do, and that's an important observation to make. What we know, though, is that even when we only look at state and local dollars, Michigan is in the bottom five states in the country. There was a new national report found that Michigan got a D for the gap between wealthier school districts and high poverty school districts. So if you think about the ability for working class communities, post-industrial communities, places like Flint or Lansing, post-recession, following Michigan's Great Recession, a lot of those communities lost a lot of their tax base. You know, I grew up on the border of Pontiac and Waterford. During the recession, about a dozen old auto plants were closed in Pontiac, including my dad's former auto plant. And those were really critical part of the tax base in lots of communities, right? Wyoming and West Michigan, outstate, like in old automotive communities and other industrial communities. And now those communities don't have a lot of that tax base left. So in the leading states around the country, in places like Massachusetts, state leaders have said, okay, we know that many of these communities are not Birmingham's. They're not East Grand Rapids. They don't have the local tax base in an era of globalization to invest more of their local dollars in their students to make sure that they're achieving at high levels. So we're going to step in and we're going to help fill that gap, because ultimately it's not fair to kids if there's several thousand dollars less being invested in their schools and in their futures. And again, like we've said before, like this is not just about those kids and those families or even those communities. If Michigan actually closed the gap in how well our students are learning compared to the students in leading states, we're talking about a $27 billion difference in our economy. So it's a talent issue. It's an economic vitality issue.
One other recommendation suggests publishing data that's actually easy to follow to track how schools are spending state money. Anyone who's lost brain cells reading a district budget can tell you they can be very complicated, and administrators often have to draw from multiple funding sources to cover the costs, even for something as simple as one staffing position. Is there a way to express spending more simply?
Massachusetts is another leader in this. Illinois has been really making great strides in this. Your point about transparency is really important, especially for local parents and advocates. There aren't enough journalists in the state to dig into every school district's budgets and spending plans. But for example, let's say the state made a $400 million investment in improving third grade reading. Districts were required to develop a plan and a plan for evaluating and reporting out on how it was doing based on those benchmarks and in actually improving reading, and then had to report to their community every year. Here's what we set out to do. Here's how we promised to spend the money. Here's what we said that was going to be improved. We're going to raise reading levels by X amount, and here's how we did. And by making that more transparent and actually requiring educators to report on that, we think would be a powerful lever for not only for holding districts accountable for the work, but also for engaging communities, right? Engaging parents, engaging local stakeholders in that improvement process so that people are working together toward those goals.
Over a period of about a dozen years, Michigan's funding for schools grew by 26%, unadjusted for inflation. Test scores fell just a little bit during that time. There was an analysis done by the Mackinac Center in 2016 that found no relationship between additional spending and a series of about two dozen different measures of achievement. How can we reconcile that with what may be a glaring need for more school funding?
I think it's really important, as we have done for many years, to be really clear that money alone is insufficient for transforming learning and teaching. And what we know is that if the money's not used effectively, if it's not used for very high leverage strategies, that's true. I mean, you can invest a lot more money, but it doesn't necessarily mean that learning is going to improve. But we also know that, based on research, that there are particular groups of students where money can have a much, much greater impact. For example, students with disabilities. If a student literally is unable to get inside of a classroom because of physical challenges, or if a teacher is not trained to provide the kind of support that a particular student needs. For example, if a student is learning English in high poverty and working class communities in Michigan, the challenges, especially around talent, are so severe right now. Schools going through two and three substitute teachers in 1 year because of the gaps in the salary differences, right? It's really hard for communities like Grand Rapids to attract and retain great talent in classrooms when they pay thousands of dollars, sometimes even more than $10,000 less than suburban communities. We can't ask teachers to be martyrs, right? Like, I mean, they have families too. They need to save for college, right? They need to take care of their kids and their families just like other parents do. And so those kinds of resource gaps can have a really, really big impact on terms of quality in the education and the instruction that we're providing kids in classrooms.
We're finally at a point where none of the state's districts are in full-on oversight state of emergency. Revenues are projected to rise a bit in the near future. How do you make the case to the state to make the kind of investments you're talking about, which would be substantial?
Yeah. The conversation in Lansing is very much about not only the what, like, and how much, but how. And in this report, we don't lay out exactly how. Like, we feel like that is a state leadership conversation. We have ideas to contribute to that. But those are really tough questions. What we're trying to do here is to say, let's make a down payment for the future. Let's put a plan into place to address the investment challenge that we have in the state. You know, Massachusetts, for example, last year passed sweeping legislation to overhaul its funding system. They're saying we can't do this overnight. It's going to take time. They're made a commitment to implement that over 7 years. And so we're saying, yeah, that's probably about the time period that Michigan will need to do this as well. But if we start now, if we start thinking about what are these systems of transparency and accountability that we should put into place, piloting, for example, how would we make sure that new dollars are being invested properly? I think it would actually help the conversation in Lansing, which, as you know, has been a little slow and stuck as leaders on both sides of the aisle try to find out where's the balance between questions of accountability and questions of more investment. And with this report, we're saying it's a both and. It's not an either or. It's really a both and. Let's figure that out together.
Amber Arellano is Executive Director of Education Trust Midwest. The Trust's study on education funding and disparities in school funding in Michigan, it's, of course, at the Trust website, and you can also find a link by going to Michigan Radio's website. Amber, thanks again.
Thank you.